Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and this is another Thrifters Villa reunion tour. And today I have Ashley with me. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
This is Ashley's third time. But Ashley's a frequent flyer here because we love her. And this episode, though, is specifically geared towards that first interview that we did a few years back. And we're just going to sit down and chat about how things have changed for her in a reselling business, maybe things she's gotten rid of, what her perspective is on all that, changes that she's made in life, in business, all that kind of fun stuff. So grab a seat, my friends. We will see you at the table. First of all, I am so excited to talk to you because I feel like our DMs on Instagram have been so brief lately. And it makes me kind of sad.
We need to change that.
I know. Well, I mean, you're enjoying life, which I can't be mad about. You've been having so much fun the last few months.
I know. It has been good. I can't lie.
Yeah. I know. I'm just living vicariously through you as you travel and do all these things. But I'm sure we have some new listeners who have no idea who you are. And before we get into that, I'm just going to apologize ahead of time. Just a little disclaimer. I'm using my phone and my AirPods because my computer is just not cooperating today. So if the audio is not great, sorry, I'll do my best to edit it. But anyways, give the listeners a little insight as to who you are, how you get into reselling, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
So I think, man, with COVID, the years, I might even be off. I always underestimate how long I've been reselling.
I say the same thing too.
I'm like, I've been reselling for 3 years for the past 3 years. I think I've been reselling for now, it has to be 4 or 5 years now. Actually, I think four. I think we're coming up, it's been 4.5-ish years now. And I started just thrifting stuff like everyone else. And then I moved on to online sourcing and stuff. And that was around like year 2 or 3. And I built it up to a 6-figure profit business and such. But that is when a lot has changed over the past year, where now I'm not making as much as I used to. I think I'm making like half the amount now, but again, so much has changed. I'm focusing a lot more on community, relationships, life, and all this such. So I kind of have the same kind of starts when it comes to reselling as everyone else, but this is where the shift is happening. So I'm glad we're like you said, talking about this now, just because as we're talking about beforehand, just like everything has been changing, but it's like for the better. And I think it's important for a lot of people to hear.
Yeah. And so when I first was introduced to you, you were like, I mean, you were killing it. There was like no way, or like you were doing so well and like the sourcing and the selling, and like you had so many different avenues of giving out information, and like you were a legitimate 6-figure profit seller. Like that, there was no lying. Ashley, like, would share numbers and stuff, you know, like that's what you were doing, and you were go, go, go all the time. Social media content, everything. I mean, you did all the things. And it's impressive, and you still try to keep up with that stuff. But I think there's a reality to it. And we were talking about this before we started recording, that it just gets to a point sometimes where you just have to take that step back. And even though you are still reselling, at what point in your journey did you realize, like, I don't know if I can keep up with this pace anymore?
Honestly, I want to keep up with it, but it's just not something where it makes sense with my life now, with what I want to put more value toward. I thrive off of go, 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 go. So that's why I did it for so long, because I can't, my natural tendencies do allow me to work at that kind of pace, but it became taking a step back and realizing, is this actually healthy for me? Like, should I keep doing this? Because it's so easy for me. I was like blinded by like what I should actually take a step back at. And it wasn't until I started working with my life coach and broke up with my boyfriend at the time that I was able to take a clearer look at what I was doing, what I want to value more. And it was last year that I did that. I think we talked about this on the last episode I was on, but it's only like continued to go from there. It's all the different like vacations I've been on have allowed me, it's really been like the turning point. Those are like the different places where I realized, okay, I want to take a step back. I really enjoy where I'm at in this moment when I've been traveling, and I want to continue this more and also continue it forward into my life in every aspect. So, and that involved reselling and taking a step back, and not necessarily like I want to be making good money still. So there is still work involved, but just realizing that I can, two different things. I can take a step back and it's okay if I'm not making as much money because it's still good money and fulfilling me in different ways in my life. But also I can take a step back and still make good money by keeping up with processes that allow me to make the same or maybe just slightly smaller profit without putting in as much work.
I think one of the things that you've always had in place, and I know that you still use now, is having people assist you in whatever way, whether it's a virtual VA, and you know, in-person VA, whatever mm-hmm. that is for you, you have that in place so that you're now able to do things that maybe you didn't do because it just didn't make sense. Like, I want to be there. I want to be involved in everything in the business. Like, this is me, hustle all the time. And I think that's important, you know, to put out there that you can create a system for yourself where you can take the time off and you can enjoy life and you can do all these things, but it takes time to build those systems as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, I mean, monetarily wise, it can take some time, but I like to encourage people that even though it can be really daunting to get help, to know if it's really the right path for you with money, you always have to remember that majority of the time, getting help is going to improve your ROI. So even if it seems like a lot of money, like I'm not making enough money now, well, you will be making more money by getting that help. So it is really scary at first, but once you put that into perspective, you can see that it can be worth it. So that's always like what I like to encourage people, especially with like the virtual assistants. That's always such a really good, easy way to start because they're pretty affordable, they're easy to find. And that's kind of like, I feel like getting a virtual assistant is such a good little like way to dip your toes in. And then you kind of, almost like me getting the travel bug, you get like the assistant bug where you're like, oh, wow, this is so nice. I have so much more free time. And then you start looking into all the other ways that you can get help. So yeah. If you're kind of nervous about getting help, like get a virtual assistant first. It will open you your eyes to what taking something off your plate does for you. And then you just want to do it for the rest of like everything in your life. Like even when I was in Bali, like getting your laundry done there is so easy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to figure out a way to like, just do you have
and she stares at her laundry here? In the corner.
Yeah. Because it's just like when you start off putting so many things for your life, you're like, wow, this is actually so nice. Like, yeah.
So what do they do in Bali for laundry? Explain to me.
I mean, it's really easy. Like you just, they'll have little shops on the street and they have like many of them. You don't have to walk far and you just like take your laundry to them and they price it based off kilogram. And so they weigh it, you get this little ticket. They say, come pick it up tomorrow. You leave, you come back and then you just pick it up and pay. And then they wash and dry. Even if you don't want something to be dry, they'll like hang dry it. They iron it. They give it to you all like packly folded up in a little bag. And it's like so cheap. It's like $5 for like 10 pounds of laundry.
That's crazy.
I know.
But it's true. Like those little conveniences in life really make a difference if you're able to find ways to put them in. I also want to know that Ashley has a full-time job outside of reselling. So like if you're listening, you're like, well, how is she able to travel and do all these things and cut, you know, she's not making as much money and she can still do all this. She does have a full-time job.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point in time, like where I'm at, I am so thankful that I have not quit that job.
Imagine if you did right like the last couple of years when you thought about it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So, I mean, maybe things would be different. I'd probably like my perspective again would be different just of how much I need to like work to pay off my bills, but it is really nice not having to worry about that.
Yeah. And I mean, your job is pretty flexible too, which I think is really nice. So it flexible. Gives you, right. You have like, and I think that's the beauty depending on what your full-time job, if you're a full-time worker, like I am too, it depends on the flexibility of that job. Your job is super flexible. So it gave you, even when you were super into reselling and, you know, really hustling with it, it gave you the opportunity to like go out and source, work on things for the business, like do your photographing, do your listing, where I can't do that, right? Like, yeah. I'm in an office. Like, it's not, I mean, I could, I'd get in trouble, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't really work that way. So, you know, this, everyone's circumstances are so different. And I just like to see the evolution of people throughout the years. And because you do have a large presence on social media, I mean, that's not a lie. You have a very large presence. I think seeing people evolve, I feel like people struggle with this, right? When you see a larger seller evolve over time, you almost start to feel like, can I still relate to this person? Are they still going to be adequate enough for me to like listen to? And like, can I still trust them for the advice? And it's just because a reseller is changing the way they're doing things doesn't mean that the things that they're putting out there still isn't relevant. Like, you still might find value in the things that they say. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's a hard thing because I know I've taken a big step back too compared to previous years. But like, mentally, when you're constantly going, because I'm like you, I got to keep going. I can't stop. I don't know how to stop. But when you force yourself to really take that step back, it just puts so many different things into perspective. And you really, really get to focus on the business in such a specific, I don't know about you, I'm going to speak to just myself here, but like, I can narrow in on things and I've really perfected certain processes and I've really perfected the way that my sourcing and the things that I want to sell and like, even the way I source, like if I walk out with three things, I'm thrilled because those three things are so worth it to me. I'm not like trying to build up and have all these things. You know, it just really opens your eyes to what opportunities are out there.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No, completely. I feel like when you're so go, 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 you don't allow space in your mind to reflect on other things, to see things from a different perspective, and to make those changes accordingly. So I definitely got into that rut probably 2 years ago or sometime last year in the beginning of the year where I was just, there was just so much of everything. And it was fine because like things were selling, things were moving. I could source a ton. I was like working in my office like till dark and I was never home. But you know, once things kind of changed and then I had that space to think about it, I was able to kind of like see things a little bit differently. And it's funny that we talk about this because so I did like a card reading in Bali.
Ooh.
And one of the things, I didn't really ask, I told him I want to talk about career a little bit, but there were other things I wanted to talk about. But we ended up talking a lot about like business. And one of the things that he said was like, with my business, specifically, I needed to not change things and not like change how much effort I'm putting into it, but have a different perspective on it. So that's something I've been like reflecting a lot about. He's like, you know, just have a different perspective of how you're doing it. Like, don't change it necessarily, which I'm still trying to figure out what exactly that means, but
it's very cryptic.
It's still valuable. Yeah, it is pretty cryptic.
Maybe it just means that you change the way that you're selling certain things, or maybe you're changing the way that you're creating those revenue streams for yourself. Like, maybe it's not necessarily the product. Maybe it's just the way that it goes out to the consumer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of have been working on that like already. And that's kind of like one of the changes I'm having with my business. It just, it's a lot more specific. Really like mirroring down the type of things I'm sourcing even more in terms of like category style and like the price point of things and stuff like that. And that's another reason why I haven't been sourcing a lot. One, because I don't exactly have the capital to right now, but also right now, if I were to source, it would probably be better for me to thrift or something, but I don't want to have that affect my goals of what I want to be selling in my closet, if that makes sense. Because the stuff, yeah, I want is going to be a little bit more costly. And right now, I just don't have the money to buy it. And I don't want to sacrifice like putting things in my closet that would change that. So I do, my goal right now is I lift like 2 items a day. And I had like a bunch of items I had sourced prior back in June where I have enough to do that for probably another like week and a half. I'm kind of just taking it day by day, where I'm like, okay, when that, I'm not even thinking about, but if I run out of items in a week and a half, I'm just like, when the time comes, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, but I think that's also, so let's go back to sourcing and then we'll continue that conversation. Okay. So what did sourcing look like for you before you started to make these changes? Is like, how narrowed in you want to be on what you're selling?
Mm-hmm. So before, and the reason why I also haven't been super open is like, I got to a point with like sourcing where like, I really don't spend a lot of time on sourcing. I found a way to make it like really efficient for me. But with that, it would be pretty widespread of what I was sourcing, if that makes sense. It was like, okay, I'm spending less time sourcing, so therefore I am just sourcing more things that aren't as narrowed in. So before, in the past, I would do sourcing, you know, either in person at like stores. So there was like a lot of, I basically put myself in situations where there was a lot of different things, but I wasn't being super specific of like, okay, I want this brand of this style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was able to pick up things in a smaller amount of time. So that saved, it was more efficient, but essentially I have some of those items that like aren't selling or something like that. Right. So now I'm being a little bit more specific about items that I know are going to like that sell fast for me, that are the styles I want to sell, that kind of give me a little bit more cohesion into my closet and really narrow in on like a specific target audience, versus just like, I used to be pretty like widespread mid-range designer, you know what I mean? And now I have like, I feel like I have a specific type of like buyer that I want coming into my closet. So.
And I think that's the evolution of reselling too, is some people stay in that range forever. They stay whatever their category is, and they're happy with being an everything seller, or they're happy selling, I don't know, Hawaiian shirts. I don't know, naming random things, right? Like, some, everyone has their thing that they like to do. But I think as you grow and as you evolve as a seller, you start to pinpoint, okay, this is what really works for me. And I could go out and start sourcing a bunch of this other stuff that, yeah, can sell, but is it really worth my time to get it, you know, photograph it, list it, store it, all those kind of things? And it's not going to ultimately get me to that goal of what I really want. And like, these are like the really hard conversations that all resellers should be having with themselves. But they're not easy conversations to have.
Mm-hmm. And I think a big part for me to say of why that no longer works for me is it did work for me before in the past. I mean, when I think about how much money I was making, like obviously it was like working and stuff like that. But the big difference was that I was, my goals back then were a lot more large scale. I was wanting to have a ton of inventory, you know, the office space. I wanted to have a ton of employees. So that involved having a lot of inventory. And so that made sense. Now I really want to cut back. And so therefore I don't necessarily, I don't even want to say have the luxury to have those items, because I'm making the personal decision. I could be like having larger storage and stuff like that. That's just not what I want right now in life. So in order to cut back an amount of inventory, in order to have faster turnover, smaller inventory, I can't necessarily just like hang on to things that will, you know, sell eventually. I want to know that they're going to sell and be a quicker turnover with like the profit that I want. So of course, every now and then you're going to have items that like take longer to sell, but I can't just like bank on that at this point in time.
Yeah. And you've alluded to it a couple of times. And I mean, I know some people have listened to the podcast. They know that you had an office. And what made you make that decision to be like, I just want to be back in my home selling these things?
So I realized I'm the type of person that doesn't do well when I have to go out places. Like, I'm actually a person that works better at home. I like the work-life balance with it. I find that if I have to go to an office, I'm more likely to not do the work, because I'm like, I don't even feel like going over there. So I'm more likely to pop into a room right next to me every now and then and get something done, because I know it's easy, versus like, oh, I don't want to go to my office today. Okay, I guess I can just like wait to do that like 2 days from now or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, and another thing came to like the cost of it. I was like, okay, I know if I can make the same amount of money without this expense here. I mean, also another factor of it is the case that when my boyfriend moved out, I had to take on the additional amount of the
apartment here. So my finances were just a little bit tighter at that point too. So money and then time. And again, just like the lifestyle I want to be living with a little bit more freedom and flexibility. It doesn't involve an office. So
there's, I feel like I would do the same thing. Like the thought of going to work, coming home, and then having to like get myself together to then go to another space to work. I would do it once a week. Like that, yeah. That's what would happen. I would do it once a week unless I absolutely had to go more than once and I'd have to force myself. And then I would probably be there until all hours of the night. Because once you're there, you just got to keep going. You can't stop because I don't know when I'm going to come back. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I mean, I'm fortunate that I can have it in my home and it's out of sight, out of mind. Like no one can see it. It's in its own little space. It's not little. I have a very large space where I can do that. But like when I was doing out of the apartment, that was not the case. And it was very overwhelming. And so I understand that everyone's circumstances are different. And sometimes that's the only option is you need some type of storage space to get it out. So you don't feel so suffocated by it. But I'm with you. I don't think I'd go ever.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just like, and I walk, like I don't have to drive to my office. I walk to my office and even like the 5 minute walk, I'm just like, I don't want to do it. And also like, I mean, I live in a city, like, I had like a scary experience. Like I thought like someone was following me into the office. Like there's no one really in my office. It's pretty alone. So things could happen. I think I went up one time, it wasn't a big deal, but this guy was sitting my office. I'm on a floor that has like a main, like kind of central area. Then there's only like four other rooms and literally no one's ever in them. So I go up there and there's this guy sitting like at this office, like eating like a lean cuisine with like a suitcase and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Is this yours? I was like, oh no, it wasn't. And he's like, oh, okay, it's okay if I stay here. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. I think it was just like a homeless guy that had gotten in and was sitting there and had taken someone's food from the refrigerator and was like eating and chilling out there. He was harmless. Like he didn't even really look that homeless,
but still
long story short, like that was the kind of environment that was in. And so I just didn't really need to be there anymore. Luckily I finally paid off the last month of it, so I don't need to pay it anymore, thank God, because I don't have the money to pay it right now. So it also being in the city, it was a lot. I mean, there I probably pay like 2 to 3 times the amount of what other people maybe in like a suburb or something would pay. So that's another like factor as well. Like it could be worth it to get a space if someone's looking to having a space, if you know those are your goals still and the price isn't as expensive maybe, but and if that's the kind of work that you enjoy doing is going out. I know some people are like, I do better when I go out to an office. I'm not that person. So everyone's going to be a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting that, you know, because you're not the first person that I've talked to who has gotten rid of offices or has gotten rid of extra spaces that they had and they've just brought it back into their home and they find that they're more productive at home doing the stuff than they were when they went somewhere else to go do it. And I just think it's kind of like working from home, right? Some people can do it, some people can't do it. Like there's people in my office who are like, I could never do that. And never work a hybrid schedule. And then there's other people who are like, no, when I'm at home, I get so much done that I would never get done in the office. I just think it just depends on how your brain works. But yeah, the other 100%. Thing that you were doing too was live selling. And are you still doing that? Or have you kind of backed off since you don't have the office anymore? And like, so let's talk about that transition. Cause when you came on and talked about live selling, you were in it. Like you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was a great extra way to make income. Where was that change for you from you really loving it to like, I don't know if this is really going to work for me anymore?
So I think I was always holding on to like the growth of it and a lot of reflection as well. Came into when I see like what this would look like at its best, do I want that? And like, yeah, the money would maybe be okay, but like again, like a couple of things. Like one, I always hear you talking about this on podcasts. Like I hate like having to turn on for it. Like because like normally like I won't lie, like I don't know, sometimes it might seem like a bubbly person. Like internally all I want to do is just like RBF it and just like sit down and like not talk to anybody.
I was just gonna say, yes, you're bubbly, but like when you actually get to know Ashley, she's like a pretty quiet, like keep to myself, leave me alone, like just let me do my thing kind of person.
So like I just like don't like just show up like once, twice a week, you know, and like have to turn myself on. And also just again, like, again, having to show up. I'm like, I'm a pretty like lazy, I don't want to work, I just want to make money type person. I just want to travel. I want to enjoy life. And like, that is just like not that. And so when I realized that like, it's never going to be my goal, it's kind of like, what's the point of continuing this? And I was doing it to clear out a lot of stuff. I've luckily cleared out a ton. I still have some left. But unfortunately, I mean, I do love giving people deals, but like, I just can't be losing so much money, especially when I am not in any capacity to be losing money right now. So unfortunately, I just can't do any right now and just continue to lose money. Because I was starting pretty low starts, and it was working out fine at first. I was having some inventory that would offset it. But then, you know, most of the time you do live sales and they get better. I was doing live sales and they just were getting worse. And I was going from like making a couple hundred dollars, and that was perfect for me. I was just having to get rid of the stuff and make a couple hundred dollars to losing a couple hundred dollars each show. And that was not okay. So that's why, unfortunately, like, I just can't continue them anymore at that pace. I'd rather figure out other ways to do it. And that's not to say I'm never going to say never, because it is a good way to kind of like, you know, oh, okay, I need to like pay off like an X amount of something. Maybe I'll have a show and just be okay. Because even if I'm losing the profit, maybe I really desperately need the cash flow or something. But at this point, I'm just trying to figure out other ways to do it. So yeah, live selling, it's not going to be something that I want to do long-term. So, you know, it's great for people. I see so many people do so much success with it. They love it. I know you had Sonia on your last podcast. Like, she's the type of person that like, yes, like that is for her. Like, she knows how to market. Like, I don't want to market myself. I don't want to like, that's not what I want to do. And I think I've said that multiple times, but there's like so many different like small businesses you can have, so many ways to make money. Just because it's a part of reselling doesn't mean that you have to do it and make it a part of your business. And it's just not what I want to make a part of mine.
That is like one of the first things that I said when live selling came out was, why does everyone have to jump on the bandwagon and think that they have to do it? Like, you don't have to do it. And it's.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Why put yourself in that situation where you feel like you have to do what everyone else is doing, and then you try it and you hate it, but you feel like you need to keep going with it because everyone else is doing it? And it's like, but if it doesn't fit your needs and it doesn't satisfy you and you feel like it's a chore, why?
Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. And yes, Sonia's like, she's a marketing girl. She's a social media girl. So like, it works for her, and she's found a way to do it. That's very inspiring. But I didn't leave that conversation saying that I'm going to do a live sale tomorrow. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's just so different. Like, I mean, if someone was like, if everyone just started like selling calendars on Etsy, would you be like, oh my God, I have to go do that now? Like, no, it's totally different. Like, you don't have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so different. So you really have to like, everyone needs to like take a step back and see if that's what they want to do, because it's a totally different kind of business. Like, even when I was doing live selling, like how I was sourcing for it, just like the type of like promotions you want to think about for it, the type of like way you want to engage with people, like your goal with it. Like, it's a very, you do want to think very long-term. I feel like when it comes to live selling, and since I knew I wasn't thinking long-term, and I would just show up and be like, this is my item. And like, I don't blame people for not caring, because like, I wouldn't either, but it's just like not as engaging, and like, it's not what people want. So I just feel like I'm not what people want when it comes to live selling, and that's okay. And I'm just like, I have other ways to make money that I'm figuring out. So that's where I stand with it right now.
Yeah. And I think it works for some people because A, they have the personality for it. B, they just really enjoy like the idea of styling people, or they just have the following. Like, sometimes that's all it comes down to, is you just have the following and people just want to watch you, or you have the customer base, right? Maybe it's the customers that have, no, maybe you were, I don't know, an influencer of some sort, and now you're live selling. So now you've got that base coming in. So like, yes, that totally works for that crowd. But I feel like it's just that, I feel like everyone I talk to is like, there's always this push, like, Daniela, why don't you do live sales? I'm like, because I don't want to. Why isn't that good enough of an answer for everyone? I don't want to do it, period. Like, I just, the, like, I have to deal with people all day long. Like, I don't think people really realize how exhausting that is when you're like the go-to for a lot of projects. You're the go-to for staff. You're the go-to for administrators. Like, you're constantly on, right? Like, it never shuts off. So now I got to come home. I got to get pretty. I got to go in front of my phone.
Right, you're like,
and then talk to people. No, I don't. I love talking to you guys on here, but this is different. You don't see me. It's my voice. Yeah. And it can be my authentic self here, you know, because we've built that relationship. The people I have on, we mesh well together, but it's like, and then the price point, like you bring up such a good point. The way that I source, the way that I do things, live selling wouldn't work unless I had that customer base that buys from me organically were to come into that show. And the chances of that are much lower than my item being seen by that buyer.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where I stand with it. Like I have a price point that I want to make. There's a dollar amount I want to make. And yes, live selling could do it. But why would I put myself through that? To maybe hopefully get that customer to come in and stay throughout the show to get that one piece? Mm-hmm. I don't do it. I don't shop live sales. So I'm going to Google what I want, click on it, and buy it. Like, that's how that works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think at this point with like live selling, what's so important for everyone to remember, it's like, it can be a very good thing to get into. Just reflect to see if you want to do it. You know, you're either, I think there's so much money to make there, but again, you don't force yourself into it. So I think when it comes to live selling, have your own ideas. Don't let anyone say it's good or bad. Just go in with what you want to think about it with your own mind and act accordingly based off that.
Yeah. Just be your own individual person, period. Do what you want to do. Just do what you want to do. Okay. So we're going to go back to like the whole listing thing. What does that look like for you now? What is like, what's Ashley's day in the reseller life look like for you compared to like what it was before, where you were pretty strict and pretty regimented in the things that you did?
Yeah. So before, like I was sourcing continuously. So I would be getting new inventory all the time. So I'd be processing inventory all the time. Like I was always either like photographing. I would have like, you know, 40 items. Like my rack would always be full. And so that's why I was always processing items. I'd be listing about 5 to 5 items a day. But now I list like 2 items a day. Right now I'm not sourcing. I literally have no items to process at this point. So like straight up, if you ask me what my like reseller life has been like the past 2 weeks, I'm like, I literally haven't done anything. I ship my items. I have an assistant that comes and ships. Usually most of the time I'll like when she was here and did like storing last, if I have a batch of items or a couple items that I sourced, maybe it's like 20 items at a time, I'll photograph it, measure it, put it away for somebody to store. She comes and stores it. And like right now I have about like 20 items in my Vendue drop. So I just drop like 2 items a day. I have somebody like who sends out offers. I do have to look at my Posture VA and see if I can edit that so I can just get that automated versus having an assistant do it. But that's pretty much it. Like I straight up, I mean, it's kind of nice. Even though I'm not making money, like I'm really not working. Like, so it's kind of nice. But ideally, if I want to talk about more, so it would probably be more helpful, but like what I want to get to once I have stuff is continue to source, probably list about 5 items a day, get to a point where, you know, I'll be sourcing throughout the week, get everything up and inventoried, and then have an assistant come measure, photograph it, store it away, and then her ship it out once or twice a week, and then I'll just like ship out the other. And then pretty much just keep it like very like in a maintenance type, consistent mode, like not trying to like increase the inventory I have, just make sure my turnover is really good about what I have. I would love to get down to like 2 IKEA systems. I want to like get rid of all my shoes. I like don't want to be sourcing shoes anymore. So pretty much like a really, and like when I think about it and how I want that process to be, it's like very mellow and it just fits with like the life I want to have of like having this assistant do all that, like being able to like go out and travel, like the money is like consistent, and it just like allows me to like enjoy my life. So although I'm really like my day-to-day life of reselling again is literally non-existent. I probably work right now maybe like 3 hours a week on like reselling, maybe 3-4 if I have to do more shipping versus my assistant, because I'm pretty much just listing 2 items a day and I have those drafted. That's pretty much it. So I mean, because I'll do some other reselling stuff that's like, I was like, tomorrow I'm gonna go to the buy sell trade store to get rid of my own stuff. So I don't know if that's really classified, and maybe I'll do some shopping when I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's like really chill, and hopefully when I get to continue those processes in place, it'll be like really mellow as well.
I was gonna say, it sounds very like hands off, right? Like, sure, I'll source the things, but like I don't really want to touch the product. If I don't have to, I can go do my thing. I have someone who can come and take care of everything, and my only real priority is to make sure the stuff sells. So I got to buy the right things to put on there.
Yeah.
Kind of what I envision too. I mean, I already kind of do that too, and I'm in the same boat as you. If I do reselling work right now, I would say I'm dedicating anywhere between, if we're counting sourcing, then 5 to 8 hours a week. That's it. When I say part-time, like extremely part-time.
It's very part-time.
It's not even, that's one shift at a retail store. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's about what I'm doing. And I'm still able to hit the numbers that I need to hit because I've refined everything so much. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, I'm sure there are people who are listening who are newer that are like, I want to get to that point. Please make your mistakes and do all the things first. You got to get it out of your system sometimes, because it's just, you get so overwhelmed with information. There's no like one right way to do it. There's no secret recipe. Like, you have to do it this one way and then you're going to see success in terms of like product. That's not how it works. And it all depends on like what your overall goal is. What is it that you really want from reselling? I think that's like the number one question you have to ask yourself. Yes. And for you, it's, I want to have the extra capital to go and enjoy my life and do the things that I really want to do with my, you know, with my time. And for someone else, it could be, I need extra money because my mortgage went up and I need that extra money to put towards my mortgage, or I got to start paying for daycare. And now I need to make sure that I make enough of that. Like, everyone's why is so different. And I think when you put that why to the forefront, it really opens up your mind as to what you really need to do to create that successful business for yourself, because it's so different for each person. That's why I hate that word. Like, I hate the word success, because it means a different thing to each person. We were talking about this before, like the term wealth, success, all of those words mean something so different to each individual. And my idea of wealth could be, I don't know, $2 million a year, where for the next person, it's, I just want to hit 50K a year and I'll be fine. Or I just need to hit 25K a year and that covers all the things that I need to cover. Or for some other people, it's like, I just really enjoy doing this and it's my hobby and I really love it and I feel fulfilled doing it. Like, it doesn't have to be the same for each person, which is the beauty of having your own business and being in e-commerce.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think and that's why I really enjoyed my own like self-development journey, is because like through all that, it's so important for everyone to remember, is like, you never, once you identify your version of success, never let someone else convince you that their idea of success is better. You know, you have to really truly know yourself and not just be, you know, swept into someone else without having like a true reason why. Like, sure, you can change your idea of success and whatnot. But be able to understand like the why of it. Like, before, when I think back to when I was making a ton of money, it was like, my why was really just like to make a ton of money. But like, I guess that can be your like a why. But I don't know. I just worked on myself so much, and it's like, I don't truly believe that that's like the best like reason of why. Like, I think it's great to have like other things beyond that. I think it's great to like reflect on life a little bit more and think as to why you're developing such a sense of monetary goals for that, and identify, you know, what does that money pay for? Like, what does that mean for you? Does that achieve the happiness you're not? Where do you get happiness for? There's like, I don't know, there's just so many more things to life and stuff. And so being able to see, you know, really truly identify yourself and how your reselling goals fit in with that. That just helped me so much into becoming like a little bit more happier with my life, my business, even as it continues to like not be making as much money.
Yeah, but it's still making money, which I think is just a testament to like you being a good business person, being able to source the right things and, you know, just get those right items into your closet that, okay, you may not be making as much, but you're still able to make something that's extra from your full-time income.
Yeah, well, I will say July, I straight up almost didn't make anything, like to be quite honest.
But you were just really selling in July, were you?
I know, not really, but like even just, I'll be quite honest, so like everyone knows, like, I mean, my January, February, March, I thought that was bad, but that was actually good compared to where like June and July have been. Also, mostly when I look, because I consider like, you know, what I have and everything after expenses, and I have like a lot of expenses. I mean, with my office, like, you know, I end up having about like $2,800 of expenses. And so when I'm making like $4,000 profit, I'm end up with like $1,200, then I have to pay taxes mm-hmm. on that. And it's like, wow, I pretty much barely made anything. So I can also, I cannot wait to have that office be gone and just have that extra. I was paying like with kind of everything involved in that is about like $1,600-$1,700. So to be able to like have that, like
that's a lot back in my pocket. I mean, that's a mortgage to some people.
I know. I literally had like, I was going 8 months without even using the office. So I was like paying it without even like using it. So I'm so happy to like be done with that. But long story short, yeah. So hopefully we're getting it back on track to be making a little bit more. But if anyone's going through issues of like not making money, don't worry. I mean, I went from like, I think back to where I was making, you know, like 1 month made like $14,000 profit. And it's like, okay, now I'm at like $1,000. Like that is a big change. So it's okay though. The ebbs and flows.
It does. And I think this segues perfect into like what the whole community is talking about right now, where it's like some people are making amazing sales and some people are making literally nothing and they haven't changed anything. And I think that's, there's so many factors. Like we can't pinpoint it to like yes. one specific thing. And I think people need to remember that. I think that you have platforms like eBay and Poshmark who are testing a lot of different products right now mm-hmm. for themselves, whether it's pay-per-click, dynamic ads, whatever it is, there's these new things that they're pushing out that they're testing. And I do think it's affecting a lot of people, especially if you're not buying into the program, right? Like this, that's just mm-hmm. the way that it works. If you're not going to buy into the program, well, then you're not going to see what these other people are going to see. Then there's some people that are trying it and testing it, and they're still not seeing anything. I think there's more to it. I think it has a lot to do with items, products, what's selling on the platform. Like there's deeper conversations that go into that. And then you have people who were doing great on live selling and now they're not doing as well anymore. You have people who are seeing so much success on live sales. I just think there's so many factors that just didn't exist even 3 years ago. They just weren't there. And it was easier really to make sales then. Now yes. we have more sellers. There's no way around it. One thing that the pandemic did was give us more sellers. People needed ways to make money. People needed to find other ways to supplement income. Groceries are really expensive. People turn to online selling. That's just what happens. It's harder to find good inventory for a whole host of reasons. Stores have gotten smarter. Stores are pulling certain items and selling them online themselves. Maybe they have, I don't know, an eBay presence. Maybe they have their own, like Goodwill has their own online auction site. Like mm-hmm.
It's
not the same. There are certain brands, I think Madewell is one of them, where you can send them like a bag filled of Madewell jeans and you get credit to buy new clothes on their website. Like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Businesses are savvy now. So it makes it harder to do things the way that we did just a couple of years ago. And I'm sure you felt the same things I've felt it. I've had to change literally everything about how I do reselling to be able to reach the audience I need to reach. And I got to play the game. Like it just, it's a part of it. I'm in the Poshmark promoted beta closet thing and it's working for me. I have my theories as to why it's working for me. I think the product that I have makes a difference. I think the way that I maybe approach negotiations, the way that I kind of run my business, being an established seller, like I think all of that plays into it. And I have a very specific group of people that will come into my closet. And I purposely source certain things to get certain people into my closet, even if the profit is not what I want it to be. But I know that it brings a new demographic in. Like, I've had to become very savvy. And I'm just curious, like, what your perspective is on all of the people that are struggling. Because there's some really, like, big sellers that are struggling out there that were once, I mean, making so much money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm one of them. But
You've changed things.
I also remind myself, like, I literally, like, I used to list, like, at one point I was listing, like, 10 to 15 new items a day, right? Like, when you think about 2023, I mean, there was a point in time I wasn't listing anything. I don't think I've listed, I probably counted times on my hand, maybe two, like, four hands that I listed more than five items a day. So it's been kind of like a overarching, like, month to month, you know, thing for me that has caused a decrease, which I recognize that. And so I'm fine with that. But I also do recognize that also, like, two years ago when I was moving into my office and I was very busy because I was moving in, I was only listing two items a day, and I still made like $10,000-$11,000 profit by not doing any work. So times definitely do go into that as well, just with how the economy is. And yeah, I think it's just like important to remember that, like, that's just like the world we live in. Like, so many other businesses are like hit as well due to it. And I think it's important to look at other ways to, like, if you're changing up your business, or if it's not taking quick enough to kind of be making that money, like, look at other ways. That's why I'm like looking at Facebook Marketplace, like selling things that, you know, I just like stuff around my place that I don't use anymore, or just are sitting, you know. I do think I don't know, like, that I'm always so optimistic about the reselling area. I do think times will change and go back as well.
Yeah.
I think it might take a while. I think reselling and like the secondhand market is always going to be there. I do believe more and more people will continue to go to it to find clothes and stuff. You know, we always talk about this. It's always changing. It's always important to make pivots in your business and act accordingly. But I think at any level, whether you've been selling for a long time or not a long time, and you're seeing these really high decreases, to like know that you're not alone. And it, you know, even if you're doing everything, like, it may not be you. Maybe just be even more critical and see what you can make in changes of your business, even beyond what you might be seeing. Maybe ask somebody else. They can, like, even just like an outsider point of view, to like look at your closet, see if they would actually want something to shop. Or like, if you like, we're looking at my closet, like, would you think it's like too expensive? Not because of my pricing, but because of where you're at in life, like as a buyer, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just to like get that perspective. But I've gotten so many DMs about it, about so many people that have been like, you know, I'm making a quarter of what I've been making before. It's so freaking normal right now. So I think just, it can be really hard, especially if you're not really knowing that like everyone else is in the same boat, even like high sellers, to know that like that's normal. I think it's really good for everyone to normalize that right now and to just share that information, because again, I'm making like less than a quarter of what I had made before, selling the same type of stuff. Again, yes, I haven't been working as much, but like that's kind of just like where I'm at. So
yeah,
a lot of people are experiencing it.
Yeah. And I just think there's so many outside factors. Take the platforms away. There's a lot of factors that are going on in the world, and it could be factors of the consumer that they're not able to buy things like they once were, or maybe people are doing kind of like what you're doing, which I know is a fact, is, well, I can travel now, so I'm traveling everywhere, and buying things, right? So like, yeah, especially right now, I don't know if people know this, but July and August are big European traveling months, especially August. Most Europeans have August off, so they rotate. Some have July off, some have August off. And they're off for 3 weeks. So some people enjoy traveling during that time, and here in America, and they go to all these different places because it's just something to experience. You get to meet all these different people. And I just, think some 2020 and 2021 taught people a lot of things about what's the most important thing in life. And now that people are able to go out and have these experiences, why not do it? Because who knows what can happen tomorrow?
Exactly. I know I'm experiencing it. Like, now that I can travel, like, Bali was the first place I went internationally since COVID. And now I'm just like, oh my God, I like kind of forgot that I can travel internationally. Or I was kind of like, I don't know why I had this like kind of concern for a little bit, just because I hadn't been in a long time. It wasn't the forefront of mine. And now that it's kind of, everyone's talking about it. It's like all over TikTok. Everyone's talking about, at least I'm saying it, maybe because I just am all about traveling now. It's like everyone's talking about recommendations for Europe. Mm-hmm. And just like everywhere else. And so everyone's just like going out. So yeah, that it is huge. I mean, I know summer slowdown has always been like a thing. I've honestly, the past years, didn't really experiencing it too much. This is kind of the first year I'm experiencing it. And it could be, like you said, because people are just, you know, going out and traveling in addition to, you know, it's like, oh, I don't have that, like, with the economy, I have to be, you know, a little bit more budget friendly, but I want to travel. So let's put more of our efforts toward traveling, you know? So, and going back to kind of what we talked about, you talked about before about the promoted listings is, you know, I'm the platforms, I think do their changes are, you know, going into it. I just got into the beta of their promoted listings and I noticed a change. And I know you've talked about this as well too, about needing more insights. Like I'm like, what's the point of this freaking interface?
There's
like,
no point to the dashboard. Yes. Like, thank you. There's no point to that. Okay. If you're listening to this and you're going by the dashboard, please don't go by your own data and numbers. Do not go by that dashboard.
I've had full price sales and like really good offers. And I'm like, out of nowhere, I have like, haven't had good offers, let alone like I've had two full price sales in the past 2 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, like this has to be from promoted listing. I'm going to go check out in the dashboard. And it's like, that one sale wasn't included in like the information about it. I was like, there's no way that this wasn't from some kind of something with a promoted listing. So I do think that the promoted listing, like at least being a part of it and stuff like that is like super helpful. My sales haven't like gone up a ton, but I think I remember when I posted about it when I was in Bali, I had like, I was asleep and I woke up and I had like four like really good offers. I was like, click, 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 click. And I was like, this has to be from it. And I wasn't in it before and my sales were awful. So I do think, especially if I encourage anyone who's not in the beta to join it and also start considering it, you know, it kind of sucks having to consider now having an additional expense in order to sell your items. But again, that's kind of where we're at right now. So I will continue to look into that as a way to help my sales. But I think it's so, that's why it's kind of nice selling items that like give you higher profit because, you know, if you having to put away, let's say, you know, they have like that $40, right? $40. Right. And so you need to make like, let's say you need to make four sales to make up that $40 versus if you're selling higher profit items, you might need like a third of an item of a sale to make up that money. So it's like a lot more worth it in order to do it. So it's easier to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that when you have the type of closets that are selling higher profits.
And I think it's so nice to hear someone, I should say, that sees it the same way that I see it, because so many people don't see it that way, Ashley. Like so many people are just looking at it for what it is. Like this is the dashboard. I paid $30. I had so many clicks, but I've made zero promoted listing sales. So my question to people is always, well, how many did you make more sales compared to when you weren't in the beta program? And the answer is usually yes. So you need to consider those sales as part of the promoted closet, even though it's not on there. Because so the way that, I mean, I feel like I beat this, you know, to the ground, but it promoted closet is an ad and someone may have clicked on that ad and it brought them to your closet, but they don't want to buy that item. They just thought it was really nice and they just want to see what else that you have. Kind of like when you get ads, like banner ads, and you click on it sometimes because it looks intriguing, but you're not buying that one product that came up. Like you're kind of browsing around. That person that was browsing clicked on that item, came to your closet and found something else that they liked. Where Poshmark is lacking is I don't know that. They don't give me anything to show me that. Yeah. But the assumption is that's how I made that sale. And I don't, you'll see this maybe, but a lot of my sales are from people who just buy, or like they've been in the app since like 2012 and they buy on occasion, or it's a Google person. Like they're not the type of buyers that I had before, which is very interesting to me. A lot of them don't really have profiles. They don't have photos. Like, it's very interesting to see the type of people that are coming into my closet. And then the reviews that they're leaving, you could totally tell that like they just have shopped on different platforms before, and now maybe they're just coming to Poshmark to get things. So it's very interesting to see it all play out. But I'm glad that you're seeing success with it, because I was in the same boat where like January, February, March, I thought were really, really bad. But then April, May, June was abysmal. And I was like, oh, I guess January, February, March was not that bad then in comparison.
Right. I'm like, I'll take that.
Yeah. And like when I look at it now, I'm like, oh my, what was I complaining about then? This was great. Like April and May, pennies in comparison, pennies. And then June, I got into the beta program because I had the 4-week beta. Mm-hmm. I got in at the end of June, and that's when it all changed. But it takes, I want to tell, like, just keep it in mind, guys. Like, it takes that full 2 to 3 weeks to really start to see things happening.
I'm excited I'm like only in like a week and a half.
Yeah, and you're already seeing results, so that's good. Like, I want to say that first week I started to see results, and then the second week it started to ramp up. And then since then, it's like, I honestly don't feel like I need to do half the things I did before, because it's bringing people to my closet without me having to do as much work, which is what pay-per-click is, right? Like if you're putting out a Google ad, that's what it's supposed to do. But I think our closets are very similar, and that's helpful in this program.
Yeah. No, I feel like when you talk about the different kind of buyers, I've like noticed that, especially when I considered like those offers that came in. I feel like right now on the platform, it's like, I don't know, I either have like those like really like reasonable or full price sales, or I have the people like begging me to lower the price. It's like no in between. I've had so many people, like you could just tell the people that are like so into just like price matching, into like lowballing. Yep. Or you have the people that are just like sending like offers for like $5 off or like something like that. And I'm glad
I got a super reasonable. Yeah, I got a super reasonable offer the other day. The item was priced at $175 and they sent me an offer for $161, basically to offset shipping and taxes for them. And I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, I didn't even think twice about that. But then yesterday I had 3 offers all at 75% off of my listing price. And I do think we see a lot more of that now because of live selling on the platform, because people are just so used to like, well, this person's selling a very similar thing for $10 to $15. Why am I going to pay $50 for yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a lot of that goes on.
Yeah. Or even just like, I mean, I have so many, like I had one, or it kind of is, I haven't sold yet, so it's kind of current. Somebody was like, oh my gosh, you know, like this sold for, you know, this price, and I was just hoping to get something like close to it. Like, no, I don't, I'm not Walmart. I don't price match. Like, don't come to me like with that. Like, I don't sell based off that. Like, no. So yeah, and I just have been dealing a lot with that, just because I feel like that does happen a lot when you deal with higher price items. You know, people just like, you know, they see it sold for a certain price before, and they're just like, well, I want it for this price. Well, sorry, it also sold for like $300 more than that too. Can you price match that? Like,
right, so. Exactly. I hate when, well, I shouldn't say hate, I strongly dislike when people do that. They're like, well, this sold on Farfetch for $65. That's when it was super discounted at like 80% off.
And it was like an extra, extra small.
Like, I was going to say that. And it was not your size. This is a large. Exactly. New attacks.
So, yeah. There's, I feel like if someone doesn't like sell that kind of items, like it happens all the time with more of the expensive items. But yeah, I'm really excited for it to see where the promoted closet goes. I'm kind of been, you know, tinkering with like how much I want to be putting into it, especially if it is. And, you know, because at this point too, like I can see a lot of people being a little bit more discerning with it, or like not wanting to put in a lot of money. So it's like, well, if I put in more money, then that gives me a little bit of an advantage. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with that.
This is where our brain is very similar.
I don't fully know how it works necessarily.
Who does?
So I'm like, so I don't really know like if that really does anything. I don't really know. So yeah, I guess we'll figure it out. I still have to get a ticket to Poshmark. So if anyone's listening to this and has an extra ticket, wants to sell it to me. I'm in the market. But because I kind of hope they do talk about that, at which I'm sure
I
they
hope
will,
so. I mean, it's the biggest thing that they've launched this year,
yeah,
even though it's in beta. I would assume they'll give a better overview. I've talked to them over the last couple of months, and they're definitely being receptive to feedback. They understand that they're lacking in a lot of areas. I just don't know if they have the manpower to do what we want right now. And it's beta. Yeah. So, like, there's so many things that happen on the back end that, like, they're never going to show us, and we're never going to know.
And it's so complicated. There's so many things
It is. And, like, we're asking them to give us what Google gives us. That's asking for a lot for a company who's not eBay, or Google for that matter. So, but I think they are working on it. I just think that they hide behind the scenes a little bit with this kind of stuff, where they really should come out and be more vocal, especially when you're coming out with such like a, it's a program that you have to dedicate money and time to, and you have to just ride the wave of it. And that's a big ask.
But at least it is good, at least, that they have like the free trial, at least.
Yeah,
it is. I think that is huge.
So I think everyone should do the free trial. And if you don't think it's going to work for you, then don't. But it's free. So just do it.
Yeah.
You know.
But also, it's important to remember, because I didn't fully know this. It's like that, and you'll figure it out. But if you're not in the beta program, you do have to like stop it, or else it like automatically starts charging you for like the $40. So if you didn't know that already, just make sure you cancel, because I did not really cancel. Think about that, but
I would cancel and like screenshot it just in case they charge you, so you can be like, no, I canceled it on this day because listen, I don't trust them, so
no offense, probably not their fault, but it could happen.
It's probably a glitch within their system, but I have heard people that have tried to cancel and or they have canceled it, but then they got charged when it went through. So I'm sure there's some type of glitch with the beta itself that causes that to happen. So just protect yourself and screenshot it and put it in there. So before we end, because I want to be mindful of your time.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What does the future look like for Ashley? Like, what does reselling look like? We'll say in the next year, because I think so many things are going to change for you over the upcoming 5 years. So like in the next year, what's the goal? What are things going to look like for you? What can we expect from you?
Mm-hmm. So I think I hinted on it already, so I'm not going to like totally repeat it about like what I want my process to be moving forward, what I want to start like listing, how I want to get the help to do that. So with all that in place, I want to continue keeping my time in my life in order to do other things. So that's kind of how I want my business to be. I am digging a lot more into like community. That's something. And honestly, the card reader, that was like literally where you said for most of my time. So I, at least in like the Dallas area, I like started a group where, and I was like in Bali right before I did this. So we haven't been able to do anything, but I want to do like a monthly like coffee and thrift trips and like a monthly like dinner, just to like get to know more of the people here, or for people that like are new to reselling or feel like they haven't connected with anyone in the Dallas area but are kind of like afraid to like reach out to people, trying to like giving people that opening and stuff like that. So I want to like start that here in Dallas, and if there's like any way I can like expand that, like that's something I'd be interested in. I'm actually over on TikTok a little bit more. So I'm kind of like trying to put like more tips and stuff like that on TikTok, and maybe put a couple things like on Instagram. I usually keep up with like my Instagram stories, but I just haven't like been posting a lot of reels or anything like that. A lot of my content is just going to be more kind of geared toward just like, I kind of like gotten away from like tips. And I think that's really common when you've been on Instagram for a long time, because you're just like, I've shared all this stuff already. Like, what,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do I, like, what do you get to a point, like, what do I need to put out? So I'm kind of embracing just like going back to almost like my starts of like basic tips. Not that I'm going to keep things basic, but just to like allow myself that space to make sure I'm like helping other people. Cause sometimes I get into a point of like, I've literally shared everything from like basic to advanced or something. So I get to a point of like, I don't know what to post. So I'm kind of opening myself up just to like all type of tips again. But if you follow me on Instagram at Recall Collection on there, I'm trying to like do more about that. And also kind of just like share like even some travel stuff and whatnot. So yeah, that's kind of where I hope to be. I still want to be like present and active. I've just been going through like periods, and sometimes I find that like I'm not normally like a very sherry person on social media. It's something I have to remember to do. So it doesn't necessarily come naturally to me. And so that's why sometimes I can fall off easily. But I do like to continue to try to be engaging, just be engaged in the community with others. So, but that's kind of where I've fallen off, especially as I'm working on myself and putting my efforts toward things I want to do. It's been a little sporadic the past, you know, year. So I'm trying to get better about that. The card reader also said that in terms of like, sharing, he talked about how I should be sharing my like feelings and inspiring people through feelings more. So that's where I'm trying to, the angle I'm trying to come from versus an area of like ego and numbers and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I just want to be able to spread the positivity and spread, I just want to like get rid of, I want to like, I guess what do they call it? De-influencing the hustle culture. You know what I mean? And remind people that like, that's not the most important thing. So that's like, kind of like the center of like what I want to be seen from me moving forward.
It's very zen. And even the way that you talk is just so different. It's so, it really is. But it's like, I mean, you're still who you are, right? And you're still the girl that I've known over the last few years. But it's just, you can just tell. As someone who has known you for a few years, you can just tell that you're just in a different place. And you're happy. Mm. And I think that's great. Like, change sometimes is just needed, no matter what that looks like for each person. And like you said, you're not going anywhere. You're just changing the way that you're doing things. And maybe the content won't be always related to reselling. Lord knows mine isn't, because I could care less about posting that kind of content now. Like, okay, great. And this is the other thing too. Instagram changes their rules all the time. You can't even post a brand anymore. You get knocked off the platform. Yeah. So I don't want to fall into that boat. But, you know, I think when you can share advice and share tips, people love it. And then when you can add in the, like, the realness of just life, people really, really appreciate that too. Because it makes you more human.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a beauty about it. But thank you so much for being open and honest and sharing how life has been for you, and you know, admitting to faults and admitting to things that you want to improve and be better at, because it's just a nice reflection that I think we all need to do from time to time. And it's nice to hear from figures in the community who people look up to, and just to see the realness that exists within the human. It's not just what you see on social media. There's so much more to the people than just what you see on these reels and TikToks and posts and videos and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me a space to like share everything, since I haven't really been sharing as much. But I love you. You guys' podcast is so good. I always listen to it. So just know you guys are so good.
Thank you. And we always appreciate your support. You are one of our number ones. And I guess one of the things that I'll end on is, for those who are listening, our podcast has started to reach people in just like the fashion space, which is wild. We've had a few people reach out that were like just searching for fashion related content, and we're popping up.
I love that.
We've had a couple of like influencers reach out to us. A couple haven't like aligned with what we want to put on the podcast, but there's one in particular who I think we might have on. We just kind of have to ask a few more questions and see if it fits. But they're thrifty and they have a TikTok presence and they're a mom, and I think it would be a good fit. So it's like, it's just crazy how things evolve over time. And something that was just kind of geared more towards resellers and tips and tricks has turned into so much more. So you never know who you're influencing, or I don't like that word, who you are inspiring. Inspiring is a better word.
Yes, that's a good word.
Out there, and who's listening to your content or watching your content or any of that. So thank you to everyone who supports us, because that means a lot, because somehow our podcast is getting in front of people that we never thought it would.
Y'all deserve it. You really do.
Oh, thank you. We work really hard on it. We do. But okay, that's it for this episode, because Ashley and I could sit here and talk forever, and I'm sure she has other things she wants to do with her time besides talk to me. But Jen and I will be back next week. I'm debating. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, so do not quote me on this, but we might release two episodes coming up in the upcoming weeks, like on the regular Monday and then maybe like at the end of the week, so that we can take a week off and not post anything. But stay tuned. We don't know what we're going to do yet with that. But we've got lots of good content coming your way. Our year is booked. We have like some spaces in a couple of months. So we're super excited to close out the year with you guys. Just crazy to even think about. It's going to be Christmas before we even know.
I can't believe it, honestly.
August is almost halfway done. Okay. Well, that's it. I'm going to stop talking now. Bye, everyone.
Bye.